The devil said to him, change the stone into bread. And he tempted our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And bow down and worship me, and they shall be yours. And the third temptation, right? Throw yourself down from the temple parapet. If you are the Son of God, because God the Father will save you. Today, certainly it's obvious from the readings, certainly the gospel reading, that this Sunday is often referred to as what, the Temptation Sunday, because of the gospel recounts, right, Jesus' temptation in the desert. And it parallels what, the 40 days of Lent, right, our time in the desert. And St. Paul tells us that we're all reminded of, certainly as this temptation, hopefully we're reminded of the first Adam, our parents Adam and Eve rebelled. They were tempted also by the devil, right? But they gave in. They gave in. They took from the tree of knowledge, the tree of life. Why? Because they wanted to become like gods. And isn't that the first temptation? First temptation, right, is disobedience, always disobedience to do the will of God, failing to do the will of God. Our lives are constantly limited and frustrated because what, the effects of sin. And seldom do we recall that all the difficulties of our lives, the difficulty and chaos that we see in the world today, it's rooted in the confusion brought about by sin. And sin is what St. Thomas would say. Sin is really a disobedience to God, an offense against God, but also an offense against right reason. Against right reason. And again, Lent is a time to reflect on the effect of sin in our lives and what we see in the world. And as the Church calls us to repentance, certainly this time of year, it's really a call to holiness, right? To be fully human. Fully human to live holy, saintly lives. In Christ's temptation, it takes place at the beginning of his public life. Since there were no witnesses of this encounter, we know that it was Jesus himself, his testimony to this, of his encounter with the devil and the temptations. And not, everything is just a fabrication by the author of the gospel. Since sacred scripture, is written for our instruction, we believe that the challenges faced by Christ convey specific warnings to his disciples, as to us. There is a rejection, we see certainly in the gospel today of Jesus, a rejection of self-indulgence, of pride, presumption, and power. Isn't that the first the temptation to change the bread or the stone into bread? Is the temptation what? As Bishop Sheen would say, another commentator says, to sensuality, to our senses, what delights our taste, our eyes, also certainly pleasure. You think of lust, the temptation to the sensual. Our Lord rejects that. The first Adam fell. Then there's the temptation, right, to power. That give all the bow down and worship me, and all these kingdoms will be yours. A temptation to power, right? We all want power, in a way. We all want a certain amount of power. And in a way, we can manipulate and control everything in our lives. Then the third temptation is the devil tempts our Lord to throw yourself down from the parapet of the temple. But it's a temptation to what? Just presumption. Presumption, that is that. No matter what we do, we believe, oh, God, he's all-merciful. He'll forgive us, right? Sure, God is all-merciful. But we cannot be presumptuous. We have to certainly depend on what the Church teaches us. Like some people say, well, presumptuous is what? Well, people can sin, do something. Sin, you can lie, you can steal. And don't worry about it. That's not all that bad. God will forgive you. Really. What about, is it a big lie? Destroying somebody's reputation, okay. Is murder okay? For some people, it seems to be today, right? But God will forgive, right? Presumption. So presumption, we have to not to test, put the Lord our God to the test. And if we feel that we are in sin, what the church calls us to, what? The sacrament of confession, right? The beauty of that. The beauty of the sacrament of confession. It's here for us. The tools of Satan, the tools of Satan used, that he uses to tempt us, again, it is what? One, to the sensual senses, of certainly the flesh. The temptation to power, the temptation just to pursue the presumption. You know, in the those of you who read from C.S. Lewis in Screwtape Letters, he's there's about the devils. There's the one devil who's the guy, I believe it's the uncle, and his the young devil, the nephew. And the devil tells the elder devil tells the younger one, one of the great strategies of the demons is to have men, to have women, believe that the devil's influence in the world is just very minimized. Or, to better yet, to believe that the devil doesn't exist at all. He says that's the great strategy of the devil. And unfortunately, modern men and women, they don't think much about the devil today. The prince of darkness and the works, and this works to his advantage. You know, things I said once before, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian writer, he said, if we avoid the words of good and evil, we begin to relativize and see all things as the same. All things as the same. And again, that moral relativism. But unfortunately, certainly in our world today, many people do that. Many Christians, even Catholics do that. And they just begin to fall into moral relativism and see all things is the same. There's no good, there's no evil. There's no good, there's no evil. There's no such thing as sin. And we kind of lose track of where God is calling us. We're losing the direction. You know, St. Augustine, his vision of history of the world is certainly... It's a battle between the forces of good and evil. And this seems to vanish from the faithful's conscience. So this big conflict, cosmic battle between good and evil. And it's replaced by the conviction that personal salvation is not a matter of consequence. And there's no serious obstacles for us to build a better world with people, certainly with radically different views than our own. So we think we can build a better world with people who believe in infanticide is okay. Destroying marriage and family is okay. We can build a better world. We'll get along. Can we? Look at our world today. Can we? We must fix our gaze on eternity, the church tells us. Where our final end is where? Our final end is hopefully with God in eternity. And during the season of Lent, you know, we reflect on how we have allowed ourselves, perhaps, to be influenced by secularism to the point that it affects our faith. It affects our faith, and we no longer see good and evil. But I think everything will work out. And also the time to reflect on how are we being tempted? How are we being tempted by, can I say the word? Can we say it? The devil? He does exist, right? And he's out there. And there's a battle over our souls, right? There's a battle. It's battling over our souls. And we strive really to not to give in to that. And we have the power, right, to resist it. Again, the power that comes through the sacramental of the Eucharist, the power of our prayer, the support that we get from this beautiful church, this community here, but also the power, the grace that comes from the sacrament of confession. Three weapons we need from the battle we're in is what? Our prayer life, Mass, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Eucharist, and the Sacrament of Confession. Three weapons that we need, and we are in a battle. So, my dear friends, as we continue our Lenten journey, we pray, huh? We pray, certainly, that we always have, really, the grace, the courage to resist, not the temptations, the lust, the senses, the temptations, the power, the temptations to presumption. Peace and all.